Hi, this is Tricia Abney with Addiction Jobs. I run a website for substance abuse careers and addiction jobs at www.addictionjobsboard.com and was kindly approached by City of Angels Recovery Radio to produce a show on the topic of addiction jobs. It's a growing industry for obvious reasons, and there's a great need for professionals in a variety of settings. Addiction is a growing issue in the United States that impacts millions of people and their families. In fact, it's now been labeled an epidemic. 23 million Americans aged 12 or older suffer from alcohol and drug addiction. In any given day, over 700,000 Americans seek treatment for alcohol or drug addiction. Rehab has become big business in the United States, fueled by addiction at epidemic levels, and media portrayals of treatment centers as the place to go to start over. The addiction treatment industry in America is expected to have revenues of $34 billion in 2014, an increase of 55% from just 2005. Currently, there are more than 11,000 addiction treatment centers in the United States, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The Department of Labor estimates that there are over 85,000 addiction counselors, educators, and other addiction-focused healthcare professionals at work in the United States, and that number is continuing to grow. There are many different careers in this field, and that is what we're going to talk about on the show today. I'm going to spend the first half of the show going over some of the various careers in addiction and substance abuse. And then we're going to talk to Elliot Hastings, who is an addiction counselor with Duffy's Napa Valley Rehab, and with Justin Rogers, who works as a house manager at Transformations by the Gulf in Florida. One of the misconceptions with careers in addictions and substance abuse is that you have to go back and get a college degree or get a master's degree in order to get into this field, and that's really not true at all. There are many things you can do in substance abuse field and in helping others that don't require you to do that. So we're going to talk about a few of those positions first, and then we're going to talk about the addictions counselor jobs after that. There's one position that's called the peer support specialist, and it's very common for people that are in recovery. I'm in recovery myself. To want to make that a part of their work, to help others, maybe go even and work at the treatment center that they went through in order to get sober, and go and make that part of their career and their work. And the peer support specialist position was created back in 2001. And it was created because there was such a need in the market and there were so many people in recovery that wanted to work in this field. And there's different states that recognize it and that don't recognize it. And we actually have a article and a map and some links on it on the website too that you can find. But the value of the program is that people that are in recovery can go through and get some training and get some experience and go to work in the recovery field. So specifically, a peer support specialist is a person who is in recovery themselves from either drug addiction, alcoholism, or another mental health disorder and is willing to self-identify in order to help others as a peer. And you can be doing this at your career or on a volunteer basis. It's not the same as something that you would do in a 12-step program where you would maybe sponsor somebody or do 12-step work because we're talking about taking this into your career and into the workforce and potentially being compensated for it. So it is different. So where does a peer support specialist work and what do they do? They may work in a treatment center, they might work in a social services center, a hospital, or some other organization that has a need. There are a lot of tasks that they can perform, such as helping people in recovery to practice new skills, monitoring their progress, or being an advocate for them. when a peer support specialist is not, is they are not a sponsor and they are not a counselor. So there's a very important distinction there. What is great about this position is that, you know, not a ton of training is required for certification. You do need to go get some training, and you do need to have some on-the-job hours in order to do it. And it varies by state, so we actually have a link on our website, and you can find out what your state requires. But however, in most states, the base peer support specialist certification requirement is just a 40-hour course. And then in other states, you might be able to find courses put on by public and nonprofit groups. So you might not even need to put out any money to pay for that course, because there is a need for these jobs and for people that want to do these jobs. And there are a lot of these jobs. In fact, the Veterans Administration employs over 800 peer support specialists. So, you know, as far as pay goes, pay is always going to vary depending on where you live and who you're working for. So, you know, this could range from starting at anywhere in the high 20s up into the to the 60s, depending on where you live. If you're, you know, maybe working for a private hospital and you have quite a few years experience, you might make a much higher salary. The best thing you can do, though, if you are interested in this and you want to see what the outlook is in your area, just take a look on our website at what sorts of jobs are open in your area. And so you can get an idea of the availability of jobs and the salaries. Now, another career that we would have what we would consider to be maybe a low barrier to entry, that not a lot of training and expenses required to get into it, would be a certified recovery coach. And, you know, that is someone who, most certified recovery coaches don't necessarily work in institutions such as treatment centers and hospitals. A lot of certified recovery coaches are independently employed. So depending on how you want to work professionally, if you like working on your own and doing freelance stuff, this might be something that you would be interested in doing. So what exactly is a recovery coach? Actually, there's a really interesting story about how the recovery coach came into being, and we can thank the band Aerosmith for that. Back in the early 1980s, they were attempting a comeback with an album and a tour, and were not doing very well. And a lot of that was due to their heavy drug and alcohol use. And they had a manager who was trying to, you know, reel things in and you know, get some success out of these guys. And the manager at the time hired a psychiatrist to go on tour with the band. And the psychiatrist that he hired claimed that the band was unfixable. Everyone in the band denied that there was any sort of a problem with alcohol or drugs, and they fired the psychiatrist and the record label and the manager. And the new record label actually hired a new manager who told the group that in order to survive, they had to get sober, so that if they stopped using alcohol and drugs, that they could go platinum again. And so by the mid-80s, every member of that band had gone through some sort of a rehab, and they had all gotten sober. The problem was that in order to get their new album platinum again, as their new manager promised, they had to go on the road again. And, you know, that was an issue with the drugs and the alcohol. So the manager hired a recovery coach. And this was a brand new thing. And this guy was hired under contract to go on tour with the band and to keep them sober. And so this was the beginning of the era of the recovery coach. So what does a recovery coach do? Well, similar to a peer support specialist, they don't necessarily have to be in recovery. Probably be a good thing if they were, but they don't have to be. A recovery coach is someone that provides coaching in recovery, someone that is helping someone who is either new in recovery or someone who desires recovery, helping someone to overcome obstacles to recovery, and also serving as a mentor. They help clients understand the necessity for total abstinence, help with harm reduction associated with addictive behaviors, They can serve as an advocate in finding detox, treatment, things like family support, things like that. What a recovery coach is not, again, similar to the peer support specialist. They're not a therapist or a physician, and their job is not to diagnose anything with their client or offer treatment for addiction or assist with detox. And they're also not a sponsor. You know, a sponsorship relationship is not a professional relationship. And a recovery coach can offer support and positive changes. And we hear a lot about sober travel companions, and that's the same idea. You know, a recovery coach can be hired to escort someone from one area of the country to another, or to just be a travel companion for somebody that's new in sobriety that is worried about traveling on their own. It's also quite common to hire a recovery coach when someone is fresh out of rehab, so that there will be someone there 24/7 in the beginning, to someone to talk to and someone to be the support, because, you know, maybe that's something that you're used to in treatment and you want that bridge when you get home. So recovery coaches are often hired for that too, in bridging the gap between treatment and home. So if that's something that piques your interest, as far as recovery coach training goes, there are courses that are offered by numerous state, nonprofit, and private for-profit entities, and it does vary by state though. So what the best thing to do is go online and search for recovery coach training and then put in your state, and that'll give you the best way to find training in your area. You can probably find some online training too, but be best to go someplace where you can see some actual people and get some good training. But you can probably find someone that or some place in your local area to get this training pretty readily. And remember, these are generally independent contractors, and if you do this, you would probably be setting up your own business, so that's something to take into account as well. The next career though that I want to talk about, the next position, is called the Substance Abuse Prevention Specialist designation. And this one requires a little bit more training, but the demand for the position is quite high, and it's growing. And the prevention specialist is actually an international credential that you can obtain in the substance abuse field, and it's a really great one. And there's a rising demand for prevention professionals at the local, state, and national organizations, and part of this has to do with the Affordable Care Act and also the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Organization, and even the National Drug Policy Control Strategy, because all of these are focusing on prevention, and that's really what's at the forefront of healthcare reform right now. And so this is a really great position, and this position was adopted in 1994, and the prevention specialist is one of the fastest growing credentials in the field of addiction-related behavioral healthcare. And, you know, if you get something that is nationally accredited, or in this case, internationally accredited, you're not limited to just your tiny corner of the world, your city, or your state. You can move around with this, and, you know, that just really opens things up for you as well. With the prevention specialist, there are now more than 50 U.S. states, territories, and countries that offer a reciprocal prevention specialist credential. And we also have a link on the website for that as well, and you can take a look at that. So what does a prevention specialist do? Well, primarily they are concentrating on, you guessed it, prevention. And so areas that they might work in, they will work in treatment centers, but a lot of it is in the public arena. They might work in schools, at community groups, or other public agencies to get out the message of substance abuse prevention. They might also volunteer in various areas, write grants for public and private organizations. You know, salaries for these types of positions are going to vary, you know, just like I said before, in the other positions, depending on where you live and who you're working for. according to Career Builder, a substance abuse prevention specialist could earn over $45,000 per year, although that might be a bit high. So what do you need to do to become a prevention specialist? Now, it's going to vary a little bit depending on where you live, but this is about an average or an estimate of what you might need to do. Experience. You're going to need some experience, about 2,000 hours of alcohol or drug prevention work experience. So if you've already been working in the field, you can apply that work experience. Education, about 100 hours of prevention-specific education with some specific requirements courses. You're going to need some supervision hours also. And then pass a written prevention specialist examination. And then there's a recertification every 2 years. As far as job outlooks for that, there's quite a few jobs out there. If you go just on a website like simplyhired.com, they currently have over 1,600 listings for these types of positions. So, you know, if this is something that appeals to you, if talking about prevention for substance abuse and addictions, you know, it's definitely something to take a look at. Now we get to the Certified Alcohol and Drug Counselor designation. If this is some, you know, if you're interested in becoming a counselor at a rehab or, you know, some other similar facility, this is your section right here. The Alcohol and Drug Counselor designation is the largest credential in the field of addiction-related behavioral health care, with over 20,000 professionals worldwide. The U.S. Department of Labor, in its 2011 Occupational Handbook, has named substance abuse and behavioral disorders counselors as one of the fastest-growing professions, with an expected growth rate of 21%. By 2018. There were estimated to be over 80,000 of these jobs alone in 2012 and 4,000 job openings per year in this field. It's a very attractive career because it has the stable salaries and the ability for advancement. Now, there are state-specific designations that you can get, and you know, because this is a national radio program and a national website, I'm not really going to get into that because then it's just confusing. So, you know, if you're in a state and you're looking at becoming a counselor and you want to do that, please take a look at that. You know, I'm in Florida, so there's a popular certified addictions professional called a CAP designation. And, you know, most states have something like that, so you can take a look at that. However, with national designations like this, the addictions counselor designation is one to take a close look at, because in more than 63 countries, U.S. states, and territories, they offer a reciprocal credential, so you can move around with that one too. So what does it take to become a drug and alcohol counselor? So I'm going to confuse you even more here, and this is where it gets tricky and confusing, because it depends on where you live and who you want to work for. Some counselors have a high school diploma, yet they have thousands of hours of experience in the substance abuse field. Other counselors have a bachelor's or master's degree education. And if you want to be in private practice, that's a whole other story, and you'll need to be licensed, and the demands on you will be much more stringent. You can find information about the credentialing board in your particular state or country. We have links on our page, and you'll be able to find that and figure out what exactly you need to do in your particular area to get licensed to do this. Many places you will need a bachelor's degree in a relevant field to start, such as psychology, social work, nursing, or rehab services. And in other states, the bachelor's degree is just the beginning, and then you'll be moving on to a bachelor's degree and doing clinical work as well. As far as open positions in this career path, there are plenty. And, you know, also consider this, that many states and employers consider prior personal substance abuse as relevant experience with regards to this career path. You know, as far as where you can work as a substance abuse counselor, that varies also. It's It, you know, can be in a residential treatment center, like a rehab, a hospital, a government facility, such as a prison or a probation office. These jobs are generally full-time, and working hours can also vary depending on what type of facility you're working in, but expect that you could be asked to work nights or weekends with any of these careers. Annual salaries vary, again, depending on the type of facility in the area of the country, with a range anywhere from $25,000 up into the 60s or more, with pay being highest for drug counselors that work in private hospitals, and lower for some of the public arenas. However, these salaries are continued to increase as the demand for these positions goes up, and there's not enough people to fill them. So it's a very very in demand career path, and something that I would urge anyone that is interested in to take a really close look at. So that is really just the tip of the iceberg with regards to what you can do with addiction jobs and careers in substance abuse. There are several that we didn't talk about and that I would urge you to take a look at online. We have an article on the website on the co-occurring disorders professional designation, and also an article on being an interventionist. That would probably, well, actually, you could do that independently or work with a rehab doing that as well. And that is also something that is in high demand in this field. So those are other positions as well. And there are plenty of jobs in rehabs that don't require any sort of certification or training at all. And we're going to be talking to Justin a little bit later about that. About what he's doing working for a treatment center. But coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Elliot Hastings, who is a substance abuse counselor, a drug counselor at Duffy's Napa Valley Rehab, and he's going to talk to us about his training, his background, and what he does as a drug counselor, and what that job entails. So we'll be right back with that.
Want to get into the addictions job field? Interested in a career in mental health but don't know where to begin? We can help. Get comprehensive addiction career information at www.addictionjobsboard.com. Search and post recovery and substance abuse jobs today on our jobs board. Define your path by helping people in a growing market. Getting started is easier than you may think. You're needed somewhere right now. Addiction Jobs, www.addictionjobsboard.com.
Our first guest is Elliot Hastings, who is an addiction counselor with Duffy's Napa Valley Rehab. Elliot has a master's degree in cognitive neuropsychology and is a registered addiction specialist, which is a nationally accredited addiction counselor certification. Duffy's Napa Valley Rehab in Calistoga, California has a history of over 40 years in the treatment of alcoholism and addiction, with over 34,000 people having passed through their doors. Thanks so much for giving us some time today, Elliot.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here, and glad to be here to share some information with you.
Great. Now, I'm sure that I didn't give Duffy's the justice it deserved with my short intro there. So can you tell us a little bit about your facility and its clients?
Yeah, well, Duffy's is, you know, like you said, it's a family business that has been around for, you know, upwards of 40 years. And it was started by Gene Duffy, who is, you know, he was a guy and this is just my understanding, and I hope I don't get in trouble, you know, but for giving only my impression. But, you know, he was a guy who started this place based on his own experience and wanting to help other people. And, you know, he did it for a real long time and did a real good job at it. And it turned into it being a family business. So his son took over, and now it's like his grandson who has continued the family business and really kept the whole tradition alive. And, you know, it's a great situation. It's not something that you see a whole lot of, with a family business being this successful and continuing on this long. And it's a really cool place for me to be at, because it's like it has all these this family feel to it, and really down to earth, and you know, everybody's real nice and friendly, and you know, it's a real good environment to be in for me, so I really like it here.
Great. And I know that it has a really great reputation. And as far as your background goes with your education and getting into the substance abuse field, can you give us some history there?
Yeah, well, when I was doing my undergrad work, I was studying psychology at a junior college, and they gave an opportunity for me to get extra credit if I volunteered at a nonprofit organization. So that's kind of where I got my start. And I volunteered at a court-ordered drug and alcohol education place. So I went there, and you know, they had me answer phones and sign people up for their program, and I got experience there, and that eventually turned into me getting a job there and getting to, you know, teach some classes. And from there, I went on to Sonoma State University, where I did my bachelor's degree, and you know, I continued working in the field, and then really just had good experience with drug and alcohol treatment, and really liking doing it. I felt like I got to provide a service for people and help people out, and that I felt good about what I was doing. So I continued my studying with that and went on to Oxford Brookes University in England, where I studied about addiction and the brain. And I really got to pursue a passion of mine, which is understanding the brain and understanding addiction. And it was a really good experience. And I studied a lot about research and how to understand, you know, different behaviors and how to localize different behaviors to different parts of the brain and better understanding addiction. And so that was a great experience. One thing that happened that kind of led me into this field a little bit more was that, you know, I looked into research, and research didn't quite have exactly what I found to be the best part about addiction studies. And that was the helping others part. So I really got to pursue the cool part that I found interesting, but I didn't really get the gratification of helping other people, which is why I'm in the field that I am in now, and why I like it so much, is that I get to share the information that I have to help people better their lives. And that's really a great gift that I get to do for a living. You know, I feel like I get to do something that makes me feel good, and I get to make a living doing it. So it's really a gift for me to get to be able to do that.
That's great. That's, you know, that really sort of dovetails into my next question. And you pretty much already answered it, is, you know, what made you want to get into this particular field? And it sounds like you're really dedicated into making a difference, and in making a difference by helping other people.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I had a real great experience in just my upbringing and learning about things. And, you know, I had things that I need to change about myself and work on. And my experience with that was very positive in growing and learning through studying psychology and just kind of learning about myself. And my experience with that led me want to help other people to have the same experience. And so just honing my skills with that and really learning how to effectively do that was a really positive influence on my life, and just wanting to help other people. And yeah, I guess that basically answers the question.
That's great. I know that I just get so much out of helping others also, just in any respects. So what sorts of things do you do on a daily basis for your job?
Well, here particularly, you know, we'll come in the morning and kind of get an idea, because this is a 28-day facility, so a lot can change, and you know, from day to day. So usually when I come in the morning, we kind of have a briefing meeting and kind of get an idea about who's here and who needs to be seen, and if there's any kind of things going on the campus that need to be kind of addressed. And then usually I will either teach a class on a substance abuse related topic or do a group. And we have different groups and different topics for different people who are participating in our program. So that'll kind of be the morning. And then usually I might see a guest and, you know, speak with them. And then in the afternoon, either do another group or just see guests for the rest of the afternoon. You know, there's paperwork stuff that we need to do, and charting and documenting all the conversations that we have, and making sure that we're keeping track and staying in line with our duties and our services. So, seeing people, talking with them. Sometimes if I have a break, I'll go around and just kind of talk to people and see what's going on with everybody. And that's, a pretty normal day. So groups and talking with guests is pretty much the core of what I do.
Nice. Sounds pretty busy yet rewarding as well.
Yeah, it is. It's rewarding and it keeps you focused and there's always something going on. So it's never a dull moment.
Sure. What sorts of qualities do you think make a good or effective substance abuse counselor?
Well, that's a good question. I think that, having a passion for what we're doing here is definitely, the base requirement, and enjoying what you do and helping others is definitely a requirement. After that, it's really important to have an understanding of substance abuse and what it is and recovery and knowledge of recovery, because that's basically what we're working with here. And I think with those two things, that's a great start. And once you have that, for me, that was a great start. And once I had that, just honing my counseling skills and my listening skills and understanding how to take myself out of the equation and be able to just be there fully for somebody else and hear them and help them is a really, it's a skill that we have to kind of work on, that I have to work on and continually improve on so that I can continue to help somebody. Because sometimes we have an idea of how we want somebody to do something or what we think is right or wrong, and that may or may not be helpful. So it's really important to be able to have the skill to kind of separate what is mine and what is their stuff, and just to be able to, listen to them and provide a service for them. That's, I guess, what I do.
It sounds like it probably requires a lot of patience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it's a difficult field, not everybody who comes through treatment is going to be clean and sober for the rest of their lives, although I would love for them to be. And sometimes, people need to kind of experience their own life and test out their own tools before they're ready to make that commitment and work through the problems and the issues associated with that. So just supporting somebody and not judging them and allowing them to have their experiences is critical to them. And that requires, patience, like you said, and care and all those things. So, yeah.
And I understand that completely. And I actually went through 6 treatment centers. And, I tell this to people a lot that, even though I didn't get sober in those first 5 treatment centers, that, there were counselors that I remember to this day and groups that I attended and, things that they said to me and sitting with specific counselors that would look at me and say something to me that had a real impact on me. And, that stayed with me over the years and, things that I still remember. So even though I did not get sober at that time, I just wasn't ready for it. They all had a very real impact on me, every one of those experiences. So I definitely understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, the more patience that I can have, and that's like such a good example, because sometimes, we want people to get all better right away. And sometimes that's not realistic, and gains are gains. And understanding that is a real critical, important part to being a good counselor. And I've definitely learned that, is that to understand what gains are and working on my expectations and all those things. So definitely a lot of personal work involved in being a counselor, for sure.
So do you find this to be a high stress job at all? And if so, how do you handle that aspect of it?
Well, that it's an important part to have good self-care, because, if I'm not taking care of myself outside of my work, then oftentimes I'm not at my best when I am at work. So for me, it's really important that when I'm outside of work that I'm exercising and that I'm taking care of kind of my own personal issues, so that I can be there 100% for my guests when I am at work. So I think even then it can be a high stress job just because of kind of the dynamics of a 28-day program and, people coming in and this being such a huge change for them. It can be high stress. So for me, it's very important to take care of myself and, you know, show up and be ready to work through any stuff that comes up for me, and so I can help them work through any stuff that works for them.
That's great. It sounds like you have a really good handle on the balance needed for this type of position.
Well, I do my best and, you know, sometimes come up short on one end or the other, but, you know, I just do my best and that's all I can do. So.
Sure. So what advice would you have for anyone who is interested in pursuing a career in this industry?
Well, I guess education and training is always a good thing to do. And, you know, experience is going to help become a better counselor. The most valuable situations that I've had through my participation in counseling and various organizations were the most difficult ones, you know, and you know, the situations where it was the most difficult people to work with or the most difficult circumstances, when I was able to get through those, I gained the most from them. So I think just getting some experience in a real life situation and also having training to help give me the tools while I'm in those situations helped me gain skills and hone my techniques and just become a better counselor and a better person. And that's definitely a piece of advice that I have for anybody, is just gain experience and do as much training as you can and work on yourself. The more I work on myself, the better counselor I become. So if I take care of myself, everything else will pretty much take care of itself.
That's great advice, and this is really a growing industry, and there's a definite need out there with these types of careers at all levels. So that's the sort of message that we're trying to get out there.
Absolutely. I mean, what better, I can't choose a better career for myself than to help other people and to feel good about what I get to do, you know. And I mean, that's reward enough at the end of the day to know that I did my best to help somebody out and I like improve somebody's life. I mean, that's a really cool thing that I'm really proud of doing and I feel good about at the end of the day. And so I definitely recommend it to anybody who feels the same way, that it's a rewarding thing to get to do.
Thanks so much for your time today, Elliot. Is there anything that you feel is important that you'd like to add?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much. And, you know, I just want to give one more thing, is that it's important to pick a good place when you are finding where you want to go. And looking for me, there are some places that kind of have different values and different, you know, morals about how they go about treatment. And for me, selecting a place that matches up with what I feel like is the best place is a really important thing, because I get to kind of relax and just be myself. And so for me, finding the place that I'm working at now was a really important choice, because their values match up with mine and I feel like I get to just be myself. So I guess that was just the last thing I want to say. So yeah, thank you very much for having me. And yeah, thanks.
That's perfect. And I want to thank you again for your time and for giving us some insight into the substance abuse counselor position and for giving us some great information about Duffy's Napa Valley Rehab. Best to you and to your organization in absolutely everything. Thanks, Elliot.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Justin, who works as a house manager at Transformations by the Gulf in Florida. We'll be right back.
Want to get into the addictions job field? Interested in a career in mental health but don't know where to begin? We can help. Get comprehensive addiction career information at www.addictionjobsboard.com. Search and post recovery and substance abuse jobs today on our jobs board. Define your path by helping people in a growing market. Getting started is easier than you may think. You're needed somewhere right now. Addiction Jobs, www.addictionjobsboard.com.
Okay, and we're back, and we're speaking with Justin Rogers, who has been working as a men's house manager for a residential treatment program here in Florida called Transformations by the Gulf. Thanks so much for agreeing to speak with us today about your experiences and your work, Justin. Justin has been sober for just a year this past month, which is absolutely awesome, and I was hoping you'd give us a brief overview of your story, if you would.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Trish, thanks for asking me to do this. I really appreciate it. I started drinking and drugging in high school when I was probably about 15 years old. didn't do it really heavy, and then graduated from high school and I joined the Marine Corps, and that's kind of where my drinking took off. I was in the Marine Corps for a while, went, you know, came home off active duty, ended up going back for the war in Iraq. And the first time I went, I came back and was okay, but instead of doing what I should have been doing, I started drinking and drugging because of the stuff I saw and what had happened over there. And then I went back a second time and ended up getting hurt when I was there. And that just kind of started my process of really taking off of the drinking and the drugging. I was really big on, you know, if you had my life, you would drink and drug too. If you saw what I saw, you would drink and drug too. And I used that, you know, and I did all sorts of opiates and was drinking a lot. And until April 21st of 2013, you know, I did that. And on April 21st, 2013, I was living in a little one bedroom apartment, and I had pulled my mattress from my bedroom to my living room, and I had just gone from doing really well to really hitting major bottom. I had lost, you know, I was married and lost my, you know, got divorced. I had lost my job. I had lost pretty much everything. And I decided that enough was enough. And I called my father and tried to find a detox. And I found a detox down in Florida. And that's how I ended up here. And on April 22nd, I flew down to Florida for detox, and I've been sober since. And since then, it's been an amazing journey. You know, I came down here with not a penny to my name and a bag of clothes, and now I've got a job and great friends. And it's just amazing what recovery can do for somebody as bad as I was.
That's great. I love hearing stuff like that. It actually gives me goosebumps. So how did you come to be employed by Transformations?
Well, as I said, I went to detox on April 22nd, and the detox center I was at suggested I go to a rehab facility, and Transformations is actually the one I ended up coming to. You know, I truly believe that God was at hand, because I didn't have any money, and somehow I found a little 401k plan that I had forgotten I had while I was in detox, and the lady at Transformations accepted that little bit of money, and here I am. And so I came here to rehab, and then after 30 days of rehab, I lived in Transformations had a sober house, and I lived in the sober house for about 45 days. And the owner came to me after about 45 days in the sober house and asked me if I'd just start driving for them. They needed a driver. Their driver had fallen ill, and you know, I wanted to do some service work. I was looking for a job at the time, and I really had not a lot going on. And so I started driving for her. And then she'd ask me every once in a while, would you mind just staying the night in the house to watch the men's house for the program so that we can give the house manager a break? And it just kind of went from there. About 2 months after that, she sat me down and said, our house manager's leaving, and we'd really like to offer you the job. And I thought, wow, you know, what a great opportunity. You know, I get to help other addicts and alcoholics, and you know, it helped keep me sober, and it really has. It's been a great experience.
That's great. And you know, I want to clarify, you didn't have any actual background in working in the substance abuse industry before any of this, correct?
Not at all.
And what sorts of things do you do on a daily basis for your job?
A normal day, I would say, you know, I'm obviously in charge of the house. And now that includes making sure the clients get to treatment on time, making sure they're doing the things at the house that they're supposed to be doing, chores and going to meetings and, you know, make sure they're doing the work that the counselors have, you know, asked them to do in the evenings. I also, you know, I drive for the center also. And so I'm responsible for taking them to some of the meetings. And then also, you know, I'm here a lot. And so one of the big things that I really like about my job is that I am here. And that if one of the clients is having an issue and doesn't know quite where to go, I'm here that I can at least help them and guide them in the right direction. You know, since I'm in recovery myself, I've been where they've been. And I think a lot of times that helps, you know, going to somebody who you know, maybe understands a little better because they've been where they've been. And I get plenty of knocks on my room door, you know, hey, Justin, can I talk? And we just sit there and talk. And then, you know, we figure out it from there. So.
Wonderful. So being in recovery yourself, what sorts of things do you need to pull out of your recovery toolbox in order to perform your job?
Well, you know, I think probably the biggest is patience and acceptance. I think it's really important that I realize, you know, as I grow in my recovery, I've got to remember where I was at 20 and 30 days. And if there's one thing my job does do, it reminds me all the time, you know, that of where, you know, I was at 20 and 30 days. And remember how my mind was still racing and I didn't know what to think. And I was worried about 2 years from now and not what was right in front of me. And, you know, I think it's really important. What I've learned in my recovery, it's all about one day at a time. And we've got to focus on what we have right in front of us and just today. And the tools that I've used for myself in my recovery, I get to use that with some of the clients and show them how I have recovered and or still in recovery and how that works for myself, which can work for them too if they just follow certain things.
Great. And you know, this is something that I actually think about quite often when it comes to people in recovery working in this industry. Do you find it difficult to keep your work and your personal recovery separate? And if so, how do you handle that?
You know, there's definitely times where it is tough. You have to, and that's very, very, very important. And I've learned that this past year. I work with a sponsor and I work with other alcoholics and addicts because, you know, this is my recovery first. And then, you know, then I can help somebody else. But if I don't recover, if I'm not working a strong program, I really can't offer that to anybody else. But it does get hard sometimes to remember that, you know, because you're constantly in people in recovery, you're always around them. You know, sometimes it's hard to remember that you've got to work on your program first, and then you can help another person. You know, there's always drama in that first 30, 60 days. And you have to remember that although there's drama, doesn't mean you have to get in the middle of it. And I think it's important that if I don't get in the middle of it, people see that and they realize that life does get better and you don't have to live in that drama and you don't have to live in the insanity that is in that first few days. And so I think it's, you know, it can be hard, but it's very important that you do separate your recovery and the other clients and the personal, the persons that live in this house.
That's great. I think you have a really healthy outlook on that, on life and on that whole situation there. And that's really great advice. Is there any opportunity for advancement with what you're doing? And is this something that you think that you're interested in pursuing long term?
You know, as far as advancement, I think there is. It's maybe a little, you know, there's always room for advancement, I think, in the substance abuse recovery programs. You know, it may not be as a house manager, but there's always other jobs you can do. And this is a great stepping stone to get into that if you want to do this, you know, because it kind of shows you the ground level. And if you want to get into counseling or you want to get into therapy or whatever it is. And I think, you know, I work for a pretty small recovery center, and there's even still some advancement that I could do here. So I can imagine some of the bigger ones would be a lot easier, or there'd be more opportunity. As far as doing it long term, right now, you know, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you. I think so, but you know, again, I'm trying to live one day at a time. And right now, I really enjoy what I do. It's very rewarding because you do see the people that recover, and you see the people that you know, even if you've just said one thing to and you don't even remember saying it, and they come back to you 6 months later and say, you know, Justin, you said this thing to me and I've stuck with it for 6 months and it's helped keep me sober. It's moments like that that really make what I do worth doing. And if there's one thing I've learned in my recovery, it's not about money or material things or I've got to have this, this, and that. It's about staying sober, staying clean, and helping another person stay clean. And if you see someone else's life get better, that's just the amazing part of the job. And so, you know, I think this is something I'll do for a while, that's for sure. And so I guess, yeah, maybe I do want to do it long term.
Very nice. Heard you talk yourself into it right there.
I think I just did.
Well, finally, my last question, what advice would you have for anyone who's interested in pursuing a career or a job in this industry who might not have any experience or know how to get started?
You know, I think the thing is stay close, you know, stay close to a program or, you know, offer to volunteer for them for a little while. Let them get to know you. Let them get to know that you are working a strong program, that you can work with other people. You know, really just stay close to a program or to people that you want to work with. You know, there's all sorts of volunteer opportunities out there at recovery centers and substance abuse health centers and all sorts of stuff. And that's kind of how I started. And I think that's important because that way they get to know you. They see that you've got a pretty strong program. And, you know, just start looking around and seeing if they have something open that you can maybe do for them.
Great. You know, that's wonderful advice. And, you know, it's been my experience that when we're doing the right things fall into place and end up right in front of us. So it sounds like that's what's happened with you as well.
Well, you know, one day at a time, and it just kind of fell into my lap. And you know, I think I think my higher power was speaking to me that I needed to be here, and that's why I'm here. So,
exactly. Well, thank you so much again, Justin. Congratulations on all of your achievements in the past year. And well, appreciate everything so much, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Trish. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today.
And that wraps up our show for today. I want to thank our guests, Elliot Hastings from Duffy's Napa Valley Rehab and Justin Rogers from Transformations by the Gulf, for sharing their experiences with us and their work in the substance abuse field. If this is a career path that interests you, please know that there is a need and a great deal of opportunity here. You can learn more and even search for jobs on our website at www.addictionjobsboard.com. We have a lot of articles on substance abuse careers and addiction jobs to help give you a better idea about the requirements and outlook for different sorts of positions in this industry. I also want to thank City of Angels Recovery Radio for giving us this opportunity to get this message out here. Have a safe and wonderful day. Take care.
Want to get into the addictions job field? Interested in a career in mental health but don't know where to begin? We can help. Get comprehensive addiction career information at www.addictionjobsboard.com. Search and post recovery and substance abuse jobs today on our jobs board. Define your path by helping people in a growing market. Getting started is easier than you may think. You're needed somewhere right now. Addiction Jobs, www.addictionjobsboard.com.